A mighty group
has gone forth, and their presence has been felt throughout the world. And we have every reason to be proud of the over 6,000 men and women that have gone forth from the assemblies since Anthony Norris Groves, the first missionary, went forth in 1829 from Plymouth, England. Today, in the United States, and in Canada, and in the UK, over 1% of the assembly population is engaged in missionary work, and there's no other group of churches comes anywhere close to that. The closest is Christian and missionary endeavor in the United States and Canada, and they're a half of 1%. But these men and women have gone forth, and their presence has been felt. Now, there's a lot of changes that's taken place in the mission field. Since David's mother and father first went out, a lot of changes have taken place. Not only changes in methods. Today, they're using videos. Today, they're using cassettes. In the days of David's father, they used a campfire. And they rode on horseback. Now today they have Land Rovers and helicopters and planes and everything else. But methods have changed, but the story is still the same. Locations have changed. We see a steady flow of missionaries from Africa and Asia to where of all places? Europe. Europe is one of the biggest mission fields today. France, a nation that is one of the leaders in the Western world, is an atheistic country. And it's a big mission field today. But they're coming not only from Asia and Africa, to Europe and to Latin America. Evangelism is growing and growing fast in Latin America. There's more evangelicals in Brazil than any other nation in Latin America. But there's still a lot of work to be done. There's some countries where we used to have missionaries, but we no longer have missionaries. For instance, Antigua, just down in the Caribbean, we used to have missionaries there. They're not there anymore. And Malawi, we had two missionaries in Malawi last year. They're not there for various reasons. But there's other countries where we used to have missionaries that are no longer missionaries. They no longer have missionaries. But the work is not finished. Would any of us dare to say that missionary work is finished? But then why? If the work is not finished, why do we not have more men and women going out to the mission field? Instead of a 2% growth last year, why wasn't it a 10% growth? But others are busy. The Mormons are busy. Just the other day, I received a note about the Mormons. Mormon church membership in Portugal is 0.2% of the population, but it's the highest rate in Europe. And then in June of last year, the Republic of Armenia gave land in its capital for the construction of a 4-story marble-faced Mormon church facility. And then the Mormons in Europe established in 1991, the Mormon mission headquarters in Bulgaria is the 37th headquarters in Europe and the 15th new European headquarters in 18 months. And the Mormons are busy in South America. Chile, which is over 2%, Mormon, is the most Mormon country in the American continent. And Uruguay and the United States with about 1.7% have the next highest rate. The Mormon Church has reported that it has 2,000 full-time missionaries in the Philippines. But not only the Mormons, the Muslims. In the United States, only slightly less than the number of Mormons is the Muslims. The Church of Islam. There are 280,000 Arabs live in Detroit alone. And in Southern California, there's 300,000 Arab-speaking peoples. And the Muslims are very active in reaching these people. In the United States, there's 3 million Muslims. In Yugoslavia, there's 2.6 million. In France, there's 2.5 million. Germany, there's almost 2 million. In England, there's 1.5 million Muslims in England. And in Europe, the first Islamic theological school has opened in France, 75 miles south of Paris. And in England, the militant Muslims have started their own 155-person parliament, claiming to represent the country's Muslims. And they're even going so far as to demand that the government in England support Muslim schools, and they're telling their people to withhold taxes until the government submits to something like that. That is in England. And you think of the freedom or lack of freedom that the Christians enjoy in a place like Turkey, you wonder what this world is coming to. In just 2 years, some 5,000 mosques have been built in the 6th Muslim Republic of the vanished Soviet Union. The Mormons, the Muslims, they're going forward. And they say, the Christian missionaries are falling behind. Does that speak to any of us today? You know, you have just the other day, yesterday, I heard on a radio, a Chinese believer feels very strongly that the doors to China will soon open. Now, it's hard to believe, but yet, in talking to some that have gone into China. I used to think when they said that there were 50 million Christians in China that it was a pie in the sky figure. But I've been hearing more and more that that is a true figure. And they feel that the communist grip on China will soon be broken, and that country will be open for the gospel. And this man I heard yesterday on the radio was urging the Christians to start learning Chinese and take advantage of the opportunities that will be afforded. You can't have missionaries in China, but there are those that have gone in to teach English, and yet they have an opportunity to witness for Christ. They're anxious, a lot of these Chinese are anxious to learn English. Of course, if you happen to use the Bible as a textbook, there's nothing wrong with that. But there are men and women today with their life on the line in China. But perhaps sooner than we think, the doors will be open. I just want to tell you, too, about the Soviet Union. It's hard to believe what has happened in the Soviet Union in the last few months. And I'm sure many of you heard that they were giving out Bibles in the Russian Parliament building. And they actually interrupted the session of the Russian Parliament because even the members of the Russian Parliament were so anxious to get their hands on the Word of God that some of the delegates come out and got in line to get the copies of the Word of God. But there's a thirst today for scriptures in the Soviet Union. Let me tell you about a young fellow. He's 23, 24 years old today in the center of Siberia. But just a few years ago, he was from Novosibirsk in the center, right in the center of Siberia. He was raised in a home where his parents warned him not to believe everything he read or heard, and to try to do the best that he could. And they instilled in him some moral standards. And in going to school, he had heard about Christianity. And he had a desire to know more about Christianity. And in studying atheism, they would quote a verse of scripture, and then they would refute it. And he was attracted to what scripture he did read. And he searched for a copy of the Word of God and couldn't find it. Finally, in desperation, he went to the stores and bought as many books on atheism as he could. And he clipped out all the scripture references in the book and put them in a scrapbook. He didn't have any idea of the order, where they belonged in the Word of God, but he had such a desire to study God's Word that that was his Bible. He went further, he went to the universities, to the libraries, to read what he could about the Bible and about Christians. And he went to St. Petersburg, searching for Christians and searching for the Word of God. Still to no avail. Finally, a friend of his loaned him a copy of the Word of God and told him he could only have it for 12 hours. He didn't know whether to read it or copy it. And he figured the best thing to do is sit down and copy as much as he could in 12 hours. He had to return it. But then he heard that there were a lot of Lutherans in the Baltic countries, especially in Latvia, and they knew about the Word of God. So he traveled from the center of Siberia all the way to Latvia. No money. Slept in the bench in the railway station. Started to look for a church. Finally found a Lutheran church. Told the minister his story. The minister was a saved man and led him to Christ and gave him finally a copy of the Word of God. But that's the thirst in the Soviet Union today for the Word of God. David Gooding has been invited to write articles in some of the academic periodicals. And also a series of articles were run in the Youth Pravda. When they first appeared, they were getting 5,000 requests a week for the Word of God, portions of Scripture. And just a few weeks ago, I talked to a fellow that associated with David Gooding, and he said, we're still getting between 3,000 and 4,000 requests a week for the Word of God. But there's an opportunity for so many to preach the Word of God and to win souls for Christ. But there's something across my desk just the other day that's very sobering. It said it very well could be in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if the results of a recent Gallup poll for the European community are any indication, people there sit of economic hard times and with little history of freedom to fall back on are disillusioned and depressed about democracy, especially Russians, Poles, Hungarians, and Czechoslovakians. Only in tiny Lithuania is a majority pleased with capitalism, said a Gallup poll official. If these levels of personal pessimism continue over the next 2 or 3 years, I think there will be some coups. So it could very well be that the doors that are wide open now could close. We close. You know, in John chapter 4, remember the story of the Lord at the well of Sychar's well. His disciples had gone off into the city to get food. And the Lord, being wearied, rested by the well. The woman of the city came out, and he spoke to her about living water. And then the disciples came back. You know, disciples wondered, did he have something to eat? The disciples were upset because here he was talking with a Samaritan, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were worried about temporal things. They were worried about food. They were worried about social standing. You know what the Lord said to them? And it was a rebuke. And we sometimes forget that it was a rebuke. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the field. For the white all ready to harvest. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your social standing. Look at what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a soul that needed salvation. He rebuked his disciples. Lift up your eyes and look. This afternoon, lift up your eyes and look on the field. Remember in Esther, Mordecai said to Esther, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Perhaps there's somebody in this conference this afternoon. The Lord has been speaking to them about missionary work. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank you.